I want to talk to you for a few moments about children. One of the best movies in recent years is The Help. It's based on a 2009 novel by Catherine Stockett. The movie and the book exposes the plight of African-American women working for white families in Mississippi in the early 1960s. And for those of us who grew up in the South, when many middle-class families could afford the cheap labor of black women, it was a powerful movie. Now, the movie's primary focus is on racism and the inequality that blacks suffered in the segregated South. But there were so many subplots. And one of the most powerful and compelling subplots is the story of little Mae Mobley Lee Folt. The story begins in August of 1962, when the main character, Abilene, a black maid, is 53 years old. She has been taking care of white babies and cooking and cleaning for white folks since she was a teenager. Her mother also worked as a maid. Her grandmother was a slave. Her only son had been tragically killed a few years before the story begins. Only 24 years old, he had slipped off a loading ramp and a tractor trailer backed over him. The white foreman put him in his truck, drove him to a colored hospital, dumped him at the front door, honked his horn, and drove away. When the doctors told Abilene there was nothing they could do, she took her son home, and he died in her arms. Another victim of a racist society. But Abilene is working for the caustic Lee Folt family. They're all about social status and keeping up appearances. Abilene has helped raise 17 white babies in her lifetime, but the 18th baby, Mae Mobley, who has just turned 2 when the story begins, is her special baby. And it develops into a deep and a loving relationship. Abilene identifies with Mae Mobley because right from the start, this little girl doesn't fit into the society that she was born into. Mae Mobley's mother, Elizabeth, is not able to accept her daughter, and part of the reason is because her daughter is not cute. She's not pretty. She's a chubby little girl. Her mother says she's homely. And keeping up appearances is consistently more important than relationships. And her child is not helping her keep up appearances, and so she rejects the child. Abilene is the only buffer between the mother and little Mae Mobley. The mother who neglects her and beats her and seems to despise her. And when Mae Mobley responds to her mother's yelling by telling Abilene, "Mae Mo bad," it occurs to Abilene to try something new. And she decides every single day she is going to affirm this child. Every single day she will say something positive to this baby girl. And from then on, it's part of the daily routine to tell Mae Mobley, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." And every day, Abilene hears those words, and she repeats those words to Mae Mobley, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." These are not words that she hears from her own mother. Her mother who would yell at her and scold her. You know, a child can sense love. They know when they're loved. And they also know when that love is only conditional. And Mae Mobley knew that there was one who loved her unconditionally, because every day she heard the words, You is kind. You is smart. You is important. In fact, she tells Abilene one day, "You are my real mama." As a parent, there is nothing more important than affirming your children, because there are so many voices in this world telling our children that they don't measure up, that they don't matter, that they are losers. And sadly, as depicted in this novel, those voices often come from parents themselves. We need to be advocates for our children, not only for these precious children that we've seen here this morning, but for all children. We need to tell every child, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." I used to think that focusing on our children and our youth was one of the most important things that we should do as a church. But hopefully, as we get older, we get wiser. And I now believe that focusing on our children and our young people, that there is nothing more important than we can do than blessing the lives of these children and these young people. And I want to tell you how I came to that conclusion. It happened a few years ago when, with many of you, we were studying the Gospel of Mark. Now, Allison read for us this morning that wonderful passage in Mark chapter 10, when the children are coming and some of the disciples say, don't bother Jesus. And Jesus brings the child and puts the child in his lap, and he blesses the child, and then he tells us that we must become as little children to enter the kingdom of God, that we're supposed to have that type of trust and that type of faith. Well, the story that she read for us, that Allison read, is also in the Gospel of Luke. It's also in the Gospel of Matthew. But there's another story. There's another story that every time I had seen it, I just immediately connected it with this story. But then I realized that that's not what it's about at all. It takes place in the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Now, you have to go back to what happened before, because in Mark chapter 8, after all of the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, Mark even has feeding of the 4,000, all of the miracles, the healing miracles, Jesus takes his disciples aside to a mountain retreat called Banias, or we know it as Caesarea Philippi. And it's here that they talk about identity. And Jesus says, "Well, who do people say that I am?" And then he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And remember, Simon Peter said, "Well, you are the Christ, the Messiah, Son of the living God." But then at that moment, the whole gospel changes. And Jesus tries to help the disciples understand what it means that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. That power is not found in dominating other people and oppressing other people. Power is found in love. He talks about the fact that he's going to be rejected, that he's going to be killed. They don't want to hear it. Simon Peter says, whoa, wait a minute. You don't know what you're talking about. That's when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And then he starts talking about taking up his cross and serving and sacrificing and reaching out to the least of these, to the poor, to the helpless, to the homeless, to the children, to the little ones. 9th chapter of Mark opens. You have the transfiguration. They're up on top of the mountain. Remember that? Jesus is up there. Suddenly he's there with Moses and Elijah. Simon Peter just says, "Oh, this is great. We're going to stay here forever." They come back down from the mountain, and as they come back down from the mountain, everything falls apart. And the disciples go in a downward spiral. First of all, there's a little boy who has epilepsy. His father brought him to the disciples. They can't heal him. But you know the saddest thing? They get into a debate over theology and religion, and that poor little boy is lying over there helpless. So many times as our children are suffering, as our children are hungry, we're too busy debating political theology, religious reality. We want to blame it on somebody, and these little children are the ones that are suffering. And then the disciples get into a debate about which one is the greatest. And that's when Jesus does something that I think is one of the most powerful moments in the Gospel of Mark. And I want to invite somebody to come up here to the front. We have another Princess Charlotte in this congregation. Charlotte, would you come up here? And I want you to read the story from Mark's Gospel about what happens when Jesus is trying to get these disciples to understand what is most important.
Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever comes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me."
Thank you, Charlotte. Didn't she do a good job? I'll tell you what. Charlotte, that was fantastic. Did you hear what Jesus did? The disciples were having a debate about which one is greatest. And Jesus said, "I'll show you who is most important. I'm going to show you who is the greatest." And he takes a little child. And he takes the child in his arms. And he is saying to us, there is nothing more important than our children. There is nothing that we do in the family of faith that has more significance than what we do for our children. And that is why it is so important for us to bless our children, to nurture our children, to affirm our children, to say to them, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." Because all of these children who are brought up and they never hear those words, the consequences are tragic. I was thinking the other day when the news was full of all this mess that was going on in Baltimore and all of the terrible things that were happening on the streets of Baltimore. I said, I wonder how many of those young people who are out rioting in the streets grew up in homes where they never heard the words, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." Now there was one boy who had heard it, obviously. You remember the mama? The mama who came and put a whooping on him? You know what she was saying to him? "This is not who you are. I didn't raise you to be a thug in the streets. You is kind. You is smart. You is important." And that's the message that we need to give our children. And so parents, this is it. Love your children. Tell your children you love them. Hug them and love them unconditionally. Not just when they do something good, but even when they do something bad. Even when you have to discipline your child, you hug them and love them so they know that love is not dependent on their behavior. Love is dependent on who they are. And you affirm your child. You know when Jesus said to his disciples, "You're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world"? Well, I bet if you looked out over that crowd, they were not the salt of the earth. They weren't the light of the world. But you know what Jesus was doing? He was telling them they were. Because all of us like to be affirmed. All of us like to hear good words. We need to affirm our children. And we need to tell our children that they are important because they're a child of God. And God has a great future for all of our children. If you saw that movie, The Help, one of the saddest scenes, I think the saddest scene in the movie, it's right at the end of the movie when the Lefolts discover that Abilene was involved in writing the book that exposed what was going on. And they come in and tell her that she has to leave. She's fired. And Abilene, with tears in her eyes, goes up to that little girl and she hugs her and she tells her one last time, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." And remember that scene as she's walking away from the house and walking down the street? The little girl comes to the living room window and she's beating on the window. And she's screaming, "Abilene, Abilene, Abilene." How many children do we have that are screaming for love and affirmation? Love your children. You is kind. You is smart. You is important. Amen.